Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola, and our guest today is Veronica Clark. She is the author of many, many books, the latest of which was just released, is Hitler and Himmler Uncensored. And I want to remind you that those who call in with a pledge today, be sure to give your email address, and I will send you a PDF file of my first book. And so call in at 800-724-2719, and I really appreciate your support of RBN. All right, let's address that question or that comment by the listener who was talking.
Okay. I've written a little bit on that neutral state is supposed to be neutral in the war. Switzerland, a couple others, that they did refuse a lot of Jews coming out of Germany to escape just the war situation. They weren't fleeing for their lives. There's like numerous emigration passports on that one site. I even sent you a link to that. I've grabbed every single one of those images, by the way. With, you know, it had a big red letter J.
Right.
Some of them went to Chile. Some of them went to Switzerland, blah, blah, blah. But I think the main issue for Switzerland was we don't really want all these poor immigrants coming in here. They didn't like Jews that much. And B, they just didn't want to take on a refugee situation. They didn't want to become like a refugee nation because it's a huge burden. You have to find a place to put these people up, keep it sanitary. It's almost like having a big, huge concentration camp if they can't find somewhere to live right away. So, I believe that that's true, that the Swiss did, reject a lot of Jewish immigrants, but this whole rescue thing and the good guard, I don't know about that.
Right. And he didn't say who the good guard's name was, and he didn't say who the daughter was that actually came forth with the story.
Right. It's always hearsay.
Yeah.
Almost every single one of these cases is hearsay.
Exactly.
So unless there's hard evidence, I would ignore it.
Right.
Bottom line.
Yeah, she was just curious about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's interesting, though. I mean, if we could get a name or something, then that might make it more credible. But all right. Moving on. So, you know, Stalin making himself look like the victim, the whole world bought it because of, you know, international communist propaganda and liberal propaganda. But again, why didn't Hitler see this? Mao saw it. So this is a problem. This is a problem for, in fact, a lot of fascist leaders. They just didn't see that from the beginning they were going to be just viciously opposed. We've already really covered the Japanese and German strategies. They had to be kind of quick and brutal due to resource population limitations. You can't be dragging out your war for, you know, 4, 6, 10 years if you're not, you know, unlimited population kind of a thing to constantly hurl at the enemy, unlimited resources from which to draw. Hitler waged his war literally on a budget. So that has to be factored in, too. He wasn't going to send his economy into a tailspin just to have his war. So, again, this kind of calls into question the whole, yeah, Hitler was going to conquer the world thing. We've already really covered that, so I'll just leave it at that. Now, the Chinese strategy. Mao says, well, we're a big country. We have all these peasants everywhere. We're spread out. I think our best choice would be like a guerrilla war because we know for a fact we can't take on the Japanese in the field. We're not that stupid. But what we can do is we can wear them down and make them chew through Chinese territory, one peasant village after another.
Right.
And they'll never know who their enemy is, and we'll look like the victim the more brutal and irritated they become.
Right. All righty. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Do you want to know our real political and cultural history instead of the corporate media or the government school version devised to provide heroes and extract obedience? Then you will want to read The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. Learn how Lincoln's War, the majority of which occurred in the South, squandered the lives of at least 622,000 citizens, centralized government power, and introduced Marxism and militarism. Republic Broadcasting's own Deanna Spingola authored The Ruling Elite. On her daily program and in her book, Deanna is not afraid to delve into controversial issues. Order it now at Amazon.com or on Deanna's website, Spingola.com. The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. History is Prologue, our blueprint for today. Discover our history to better understand contemporary events.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Veronica Clark, and you were talking about the situation between China and Japan, and certainly China has limitless people. I mean, it's
right. And the Soviet Union had just an enormous population too back then.
Right.
So yeah, that's a huge problem. Stalin's reserve army was 14 million men and women strong, and I don't know if that included the partisans or not. But Wilf Heinck is doing a really, I guess, comprehensive study on the partisans. And Antonio Munoz has done a great deal on this. He's the one that published that Axis Europa journal for many years. His books are getting more obscure, so I would recommend anyone that wants to grab those needs to get them now. But he talks about the partisans as just these brutal, horrible, illegal warriors. And they were. And, you know, everyone screams, oh, the Germans, they killed civilians. No, 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 no. A lot of these partisans were women. Children, they used civilian shields deliberately. That was the case at Warsaw. I cover that in Black Nazis too. So they weren't waging a wonderful war of freedom or anything, and they were officially trained and part of the Red Army. So I don't know if they were considered part of those 14 million reserves or not. If they weren't, it just goes to show you how enormous. The fact that the Germans did so well against the USSR speaks well of National Socialism, quite frankly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
When you were talking about the partisans, I was thinking about Blackwater and some of the contract killers that the U.S. uses.
Similar. Yeah, very similar. They're outside the parameters of state rules of war.
Right.
Yeah, they don't have to abide by state rules of war.
Right.
So it's a free-for-all, basically. And you know what? If the Iraq government kills those people, tortures those people, whatever the case is, they have every right to do so, and they don't have to go by Geneva International standards at all. And every single partisan knows that. They know it, and they sign up and contract their lives away in knowing that full well what the consequences are. So I don't have any, zero empathy for any partisans. If you're a military mind, you cannot. You have to block that out, and that's the German approach. Hitler had had enough. He said, that's it. These people are illegal fighters. They're not state-sanctioned. You do what you got to do to suppress these people.
Right.
And even then, the Germans were not that hard on the civilian base areas. The Japanese were much more brutal with the Chinese base areas of operation for the guerrillas, and so was the KMT.
Oh, yes. Yes.
They had to get pretty vicious in China. So, again, this is the problem. When guerrillas are using your village or your city as their shield, you're going to die with them. And they are not evil for doing that. This is how human beings are. This is how war is. What civilians really need to understand, instead of screaming, oh, civilians. No, no, no. Understand that when you are in a war, this is what you reap. You will die just as much as the warriors will. You are fair game in a war. In a real war, you're fair game.
And this has not always been the case. This occurred, first of all, with the Civil War, so-called Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, civilians are open
fair game.
Yeah.
They are. And we need to understand that as Americans now and go, you know what? Knowing that, it's not worth it to me to declare war on another country. That may someday come reeling back on the United States.
Definitely.
And here's the thing that gets me about a lot of, at least white Americans. They can't comprehend how there can be like a, and we'll get to Gerald Horn because he does talk about this a lot, and he's very good. How could, you know, Mexican immigrants or, you know, African Americans who have been given all these liberties and freedoms under our system, how could they possibly, like, oppose us and hate us still? They're forgetting that the wars of the past, they never really go away. Those resentments and those cruelties that were inflicted on these peoples becomes a part of their very being. And so if there's ever a moment when they can seize on something and get revenge, they're going to do it.
Of course.
I'll tell you right now, if this country, and this happened with Japan a little bit when the Japanese got in here, they incited the African-American community to resist and kill whites if they could. And they said, this is your just desserts. We are liberating you, and you are going to have a free-for-all on these people who have oppressed you. Okay, that was good for Japanese propaganda. Not so good for white America, who was on top and is now going to be thrown down. And these cases happened very often with the British and Japanese concentration camps. It was a complete role reversal. And what it really did is it made Britain retreat from its racial, from its kind of supremacist views. It really did send Britain reeling. And, you know, we'll talk about that a little more later. But if Americans don't see that that could come in the future with a non-white power like China, if they really wanted to, that they could incite the non-white population against their white oppressors as they see them with good propaganda, they better guess again.
Right.
It can happen, and it will happen if the aggressor is good enough with his or her propaganda.
Right. And of course, this multiculturalism that exists here in this country,
mm-hmm.
When you look at who instigated this and who is in charge of all of these immigration laws, you have to figure that this is all deliberate in setting up an environment where chaos could absolutely take over.
Absolutely. What they're doing is, okay, we're going to bring you Mexican immigrants in here, and we're going to give you job opportunities. But you know what? When we don't need you anymore, we're going to kick you to the curb and you're going to live on the state and you're just going to kind of be this parasitic burden and maybe we'll even throw you out. There was an operation by Eisenhower called Operation Wetback. And what he did is he rounded up all these Mexican immigrants that had come in here and helped the war effort and kicked them out. Literally just bang, you're back in Mexico. No preparation, no nothing. We don't hear anything about that forced deportation, that forced emigration, which really was literally round up, you're out of here, good luck. The Germans did not do that for the Jews. They helped set them up before they went to their immigration posts. They had visas. You know, they wanted them to be set before they left. They didn't just hurl them out of there. And they were put in concentration camps until they could get out.
Right. And they allowed them to take their assets and, yes, and everything else.
Yes. That didn't happen in this case. They were rounded up and thrown out, and that was Eisenhower. And, of course, the Japanese, same thing. They literally just grabbed them out of their business one day, you're in a camp, see ya. And, you know, Americans swarmed in and grabbed the goods. So, yeah, you're going to have resentment that springs up from that kind of stuff. So I think we do need to understand that there is resentment there, and it is latent, but it is there. And it peaks up every now and then. You'll see some kind of racial issue come out or, you know, whatever. And it just kind of explodes, and you go, man, this is literally a veneer of love and diversity here.
Right,
it is a
right.
veneer. Just know that. It's a veneer.
Right.
And, I mean, we can look at our neighbor, you know, African-American, whatever. I'm sure we all have – pretty much everyone has multiracial friends. And you're going to be of their thinking. They're cool. But – when you really get down to them and talk to them in a very intensive, no bones about it kind of way, they make their agenda known. And you can make your agenda known, and you're okay with each other, but you realize we really are on different planes here. We really aren't, like, sharing the same worldview. And, you know, it just – we'll have to see how it pans out. But my point is there could be – and maybe in the future there will be a power that's non-white that comes in here and gets the non-whites to unite against the whites. And a power that could certainly do it is Jewry. They already kind of have that going, and they always make themselves somehow okay with non-white people. You know, well, a Jew is the head of the NAACP or whatever.
Of course.
I don't know how they get away with that. I don't know how they do that.
The case.
They portray themselves as the friend of the underdog. We love you. They really don't. They're very racist. They don't care. They use whoever they need to use for their agenda. But we need to learn from that. And that's really the point I'm trying to make in this essay, is that the number one problem that the Germans ran into is they were just too honest. Even Goebbels, he said, we can't have propaganda of illusion. You know, we're losing at Stalingrad. This is horrible. I'm not going to just lie to the Germans and say, oh, yes, it was a glorious defeat. No, he said, we got to be kind of realistic because this may start turning around on us. And he was. He didn't want to have illusions. So it was the honesty. If you're going to, like, win something, you gotta lie and deceive and cheat and steal, like the United States and Britain did. FDR knew, and Mao lied too. You know, he was Mr. Oh, I love the KMT. No, he didn't. He didn't love the KMT at all. He did a temporary united front with them and then destroyed them in the end and drove Chiang Kai-shek off the continent. And of course, he went and basically founded Taiwan. But
and he had Jewish help in that. I mean,
sure.
They paid him off.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always got to be some Jewish element because they really have all the money.
Exactly. So. All righty. We're taking a 3-minute break. We'll be right back with our guest today, Veronica Clark.
Berkey P. purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkey's are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All righty, welcome back. Our guest today is Veronica Clark. And, okay, we were talking about what could happen and some of the things that have happened in this country and that mm-hmm. we really need to be aware of right. some of the history of the people. We need to be aware of history. History is so vital. It's so important.
It really
I love
is.
History. Just love it.
I do, too. And it's sad because they're thinking about cutting history from British and American education as much as possible.
I think they already have. I think they did.
I know in Britain they're cutting out Hitler completely or World War II or something. Like, I'm going, what? How do you have history without World War II? Or talking about nationals? I mean, it's insane. I just looked that up on the internet. British curriculum cutting Hitler or World War II. I'm sure it'll come up. I couldn't believe it. Well, I guess it's just too contentious.
They've been rewriting history since the early 1900s.
But to leave it out completely?
That's so blatant.
Oh, we're kids in Britain already think that Hitler was a football player. A famous football player. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, it was like 15% or something like that. I'm just like, wow. Okay, anyway.
Wow. Sad.
So, I know it is sad. Okay, so yes, we were talking about propaganda. And, of course, that was Japanese propaganda. You know, we're going to take care of these white oppressors who have been oppressing you and treating you like garbage and, you know, making you do all their domestic servant work and that kind of stuff. And the thing is their experience, the experience a lot of these immigrants and whatnot, especially the African Americans, was such that they believed the Japanese propaganda because they said, well, I mean, how much worse can these people be? You know, we've already been subject to lynchings. Lynchings were still going on into the 70s. FDR didn't do anything about lynching. He didn't want to risk the Southern vote by doing such a thing. So he said, well, lynching is okay politically, so you know, I don't want to take a chance. Let them get hanged. So their experience lent credibility to the Japanese. We're going to come in and liberate you people. So, you know, we could very well see something in the future like this. The Jews have certainly set that up in Europe and here, and they do that on purpose.
Well, you mentioned the NAACP, and, you know, the NAACP was active during that period of time, and it was run by the Jews, and yet they didn't say a darn word about all these lynchings that were going on at the same time that we were accusing the Germans of persecuting the Jews.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They were just using it. I think they figured, you know, someday we're going to need these blacks on our side, and we're going to go ahead and work on that now.
Right.
Hitler said the Jews have a sixth sense. They have a way of foreseeing where things are headed, and they get the jump on it. He said, we need to start learning how to do that. Because these people, he said, they're not magic. They're not satanic. They're not...
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Well, Hitler did. Hitler didn't want to make them special in any way.
Okay.
He said, they're just people. And so we too have the power that they have if we so will it. We too can be in power like these Jews and thereby challenge them really, truly, and seriously. You know, and that's a good point. If you attribute to them like an evil supernatural power is kind of what I'm saying.
Okay.
They're beyond, you can't challenge them, but we need to understand that they can be challenged.
Right.
Quit giving
them
power.
I was just kidding.
Okay.
You know, they have AIPAC now. One of our listeners said, well, you know, there is an organization that's attacking the white race. It's called AIPAC. And the hate crime.
Well, there you go. And what if AIPAC sides with, you know, some future non-white aggressor? Let's just, I don't want to throw China under the bus because they really haven't done anything. China has never gone out of its borders. So let's just be clear about that, except in their own little sphere there. They really keep themselves very limited to their own sphere of influence. So they're sort of now embarking in Africa and whatnot because they're more capitalistic, but we'll have to see if that really takes off. But, you know, let's just throw China in there just because it's the only one that's foreseeable. Now,
sure.
AIPAC could side with them and arouse, you know, all these non-white minorities who have really been taken advantage of by capitalism. But when you look at who's really behind capitalism, it's the white leadership and the Jews. And,
sure,
of course, the Jews are at the top of it. You know, the white leadership is subordinate to Jews even. So, you know, and that will never come out, though. You know, that's not part of good propaganda. AIPAC
right.
is not going to say, yeah, we're in charge of this, you guys. We've been exploiting you for centuries. No, no, no. And that's how they got away with their little slave trade nonsense. The Jews
sure.
just kind of wrote themselves out of the history when they were the majority slave owners.
They were. And they owned the majority of the slave trade ships, and they did most of the bargaining.
Right.
Yeah. That's
Yeah, they
that's,
played a pivotal role, as Hitler called them, the catalyst. When you remove the catalyst, everything sort of just falls back into place slowly but surely, and things just kind of spontaneously work out. Yeah, we still have our problems, but we're much better off. And, you know,
right.
that's going to have to be what happens to the United States. They just can't be here. So how we deal with that, I don't know. But anyway, so real quick.
Real quick? We have to take a break.
Yeah,
we'll be right back real quick.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Guest today is Veronica Clark, and in your book on page 146, you say that Hitler unintentionally tarnished his image in 1939 with his invasion of Poland, even though Stalin also invaded Poland and occupied more territory. Now, I do have some listeners who are Polish, and there's a lot of feelings about Hitler's invasion of Poland, and you know, of course, I think we have to understand who was in charge of the government of Poland at that time. But there are feelings yet regarding that issue.
There will be. I mean, when any nation attacks another nation, they're going to see themselves as a victim. But the thing is the victim nations are also participants at some level. Whether it's provocation, whether it's outright aggression is another case. In the case of Poland, there was provocation on the part of their government and on the part of the communist fifth column operating there. So I think that Polish listeners need to at least consider that.
Right.
And then also the fact that Stalin was literally using Poland as his staging area to launch an attack on Germany, that really made it brutal in Poland. That's why Poland became the most brutal theater. It was because that was the staging area for Soviet imperialism.
Right.
And they need to understand that. And you know what? When they start, if they ever declassify in those Russian archives, we'll see the whole picture. Until then, we really can't make a totally fair judgment because we don't know how much Poland was sweet-talking the Soviet Union. And we also don't know how many Poles were oppressed, murdered, and deported by the USSR. It ran well into the millions. No doubt those have been attributed to Hitler. No doubt.
Right. Of course, they would attribute that to Hitler.
Of course. And it was so easy.
The other thing is that Poland was promised by both Britain and the United States that if they would go along with their agenda, that they would back them no matter what. And they lied to them.
Right. And that's what you've got to do to win. See, Hitler was honest. He said, look, you got to give me this and this, and I'll do this. Okay, give me the corridor, Danzig. I'll do this for you. End of story. Poland said no. And the man was totally honest. He told you exactly what he wanted, and he told you exactly what he was going to give you. Britain promised the world, didn't deliver. Britain always promises the world and doesn't deliver. That's how they win. The United States does the same thing. Do you really think we went into Iraq without promising, oh, we're going to rebuild your infrastructure, we're going to help you get back on your feet, we're going to train your army? I'm sure it sounded like gold to the rebels in Iraq who were against Saddam, against the Ba'ath Party. Look at what it's turned into.
Yes.
Much, much worse than what Saddam could ever have done, even at his worst.
Right.
It's a nightmare. So, you know, would you rather have an honest aggressor that you can enter into an alliance with? Hitler offered Poland defense and a strategic alliance against the USSR. Or would you rather be lied to? Do you want crooners? Do you want, you know, facades? We'll give it to you.
Yeah.
And that is really what works in this world. It's the same thing with diversity. Okay, I argue in Triumph of Diversity, and this is why I titled that book like that. The true diversity, the real triumph of diversity, was National Socialism on what Hitler produced through his Waffen-SS and what ultimately would have come about had he created his United States of the Old World, that you have all the different ethnicities, one each unto their own, not to say that some weren't going to be Germanized eventually or put under German dominion, but that was really the idea, is to have everybody kind of in their own land and subject to like an overseer who had the ability in its people, in its culture, to run something that large effectively. And, you know, the Nordic peoples have this ability. They have the ability to organize vast states and run them well. I don't think we can deny that. They run things more effectively than, say, Africans do in Africa. I think we can agree with that. I don't see a lot of people going to Africa to live there because there's just so much chaos and lack of organization. This can be said of other areas, too. It isn't racial supremacy. It's just saying that this particular proclivity in this people and culture, which is racially based, is preferable in this way. So state organization, that's going to be a Nordic penchant. There are other penchants that other races have. There are things that Asians do much better than whites do. And I don't want to broad brush everybody, but that's kind of the point. And that's all the Germans were saying. They weren't going to crash and bash everyone into subjugation. So that's really the triumph of diversity there.
Okay.
And this idea that we're diverse is a lie. The United States is not diverse. It's this mishmash of insanity. People hate each other here. The hate is just boiling underneath this facade and veneer of equality that doesn't exist.
Right.
We all know it doesn't exist.
Exactly. You don't have equality anywhere, certainly not before the law, which is where it's supposed to exist.
And I mean, if you look at just women's place worldwide, it's gotten terrible. It's horrible. It's like, I just don't buy that it was worse than it is now. I mean, they're passing legislation now in Britain where you can't catcall at women or, you know, sexually harass them, they actually have to pass laws there in Britain now because it's so bad. And there's many comments under that article that say this is actually sadly necessary at this point because our culture is so far in the sewer. It's just like, what have we become? This is not equality, people. It's worse than it's ever been. So we are living under yet another facade that for some reason people like these facades. They don't like honesty. We don't like to talk honest because it hurts people's feelings. Well, guess what? You're going to have a bloodbath and complete chaos and insanity if you aren't honest.
Right. Well, so if you look at entertainment in America and and how they portray women, well, even men. I mean, just listen to the commercials and it's just a lot of disrespect against a lot of people.
Sure. And it goes both ways. Absolutely. I mean, men are portrayed as absolute dogs. You know, they're just lewd animals, and women are free for the taking kind of a thing. And, you know, interestingly, this is really reflective of what happened in the USSR. I can't remember the woman that wrote an essay on it, but she actually looked at just the liberalism and its effect in the Soviet Union on men's and women's relations and just sexuality in general. And it was almost identical to what we're seeing now. The children were just an absolute mess, killing each other, crazy little wild animals that had to be raised by the state in these special institutions. It takes a village, you know.
Right.
And just men and women hating each other. And this really boiled over the ignorance, too, which we're starting to see that come back in the United States, where kids, you know, graduate high school, they don't know anything. They're just morons when it comes to that issue. And, you know, they're very ignorant, and that leads to it leads to rape. It leads to sexual offenses. It leads to the idiocy we're seeing. And this happened in the USSR, and it boiled over when the Soviets invaded Germany. That was why the rape was so bad.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolute ignorance. Yeah.
And you saw the beginnings of that in the Weimar Republic.
Mm-hmm. Sure, absolutely.
Promoted by the same group of people.
Yeah, and Stalin actually forbid any sort of talk about any kind of sexuality. There was no sexual education. There was nothing. And so you had these ignorant hordes unleashed on a civilized society. And we see the result. We saw the result, the mass rape of 2 million women. Insanity, absolute insanity.
And of course, they were told to do that, too, as part of the invasion.
It was official policy sanctioned by Stalin himself. Yes, that is absolutely correct. So real quick, as far as the diversity of the German armed forces, it started much earlier than most of us think. It started actually in 1938, really, where Ukrainians and a lot of Russians were recruited as special agents. So this idea that Slavs were never incorporated and allowed a chance is absolute nonsense. But the real issue is the Germans failed to capitalize on that foreign help. So getting back to our lies about equality, they should have lied to them. Oh, yeah, you're equals. Oh, yeah, we'll liberate you. Sure, you'll have you guys will be independent after the war. That's what the United States and Britain did. And they just deceived. And that's how you win. That's how you win in a world of lies and deceit. So real quick with that, let me just read my last paragraph here. Because Iran is in the same situation that Germany was in. Okay, so one may now ask, what, if anything, the conclusions of this analysis have to do with current American foreign policy as it pertains to the bogus war on terror and the impending war with Iran, besides the obvious connection between Maoism and Al-Qaeda and other fake terrorist organizations, which Thomas Hams already made in his book, The Sling and the Stone. It is important to understand that Iran is now in a geostrategic dilemma not unlike that in which both Japan and Germany found themselves. World opinion under the influence of Zionism will only tolerate a rogue state, quote-unquote, like Iran for so long. The fact that no WMDs were found in Iraq has had almost no bearing on America's flagrant provocations against Iran for Israel. America's strategic dilemma in the Middle East has eroded American credibility, but not yet enough to prevent an unprovoked irrational war against Iran for the flailing Jewish state. And it's important that we understand that Israel is a failing and flailing state in every sense of the word. The brainwashed American public will not reject a potential protracted war in the Middle East involving Iran in spite of the fact that an internet search will yield a vast level of anti-American opinion. The question American and Israeli policymakers are likely asking themselves is what the flashpoint will be that triggers enough world support for another Anglo-Zionist war of aggression against the Middle East. Syria is the latest victim in Israel's and America's proxy war against Iran, but the war will likely not end there. The question Iranian policymakers should be asking themselves is if and how they can alter world public opinion to favor Islam over Judaism and Zionism and Iran over America and Israel. And so that's kind of the point of this essay, is to go, okay, look, Hitler was a great strategist, a brilliant politician, great leader. Yeah, that's all acknowledged. But he also had some failures. He didn't win the war. Germany was overrun. He got himself in a situation where unconditional surrender was his only option. So it literally became a zero-sum war, which is especially brutal. Israel is currently in a zero-sum war, and it will become probably thermonuclear. I think they know that. Whether they want to get involved in that is another question, but we sort of need to think about that too. Would Israel be willing to employ its Samson option? Because if they are willing to do that, you do not want to provoke that beast. That's going to pretty much end the world. So let's not go there. And, you know, they might be crazy enough to do it. They tend to have a psychopathy running in their culture and in their just their group there. So, right. You know, we need to think about the implications of what we're doing over there. I think it would be better to just let Iran and Israel hash it out between themselves. And you know what? I'll bet you dollars to donuts, they don't actually go to war, that bombs don't fly. They'll figure it out. Have a little faith in people. They will figure it out. If we get involved, it's much more likely it's going to become nuclear or thermonuclear, because we're kind of the ones that do that. We have that proclivity. And Americans are already, you know, nuked the whole place. Right. They're already on board with it.
Right. And in behalf of Israel.
On behalf of Israel. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Absolutely not worth it. So I just think people need to think about, your average person needs to think about the implications of getting involved in another Middle Eastern war.
Right.
But that, just let them hash it out themselves. We need not be involved in that.
Right. And yet, Netanyahu was over here just yesterday, I believe, talking to Congress, trying to get them all ramped up to go to war.
Right. What really needs to happen, this is what needs to happen. Israel needs to apologize to the Palestinians. Let them have their own state, split Israel like it needs to be split. If they allocate now, the Palestinians will let a lot of their resentment and hatred and vengeance go, because they'll go, okay, the Israelis really are making an effort and coming to the plate. They just gave us half their state, and it needs to be Islamic or whatever they want. Whatever the Palestinians decide on, that's what they need to have. So if it's half Judaic and half Islamic, so be it. They need to tell Iran right now, this is what we're going to do. We're going to give them half of our state, we're going to split it 50-50, completely even territorially and resource-wise. They need to make sure the Palestinians have enough resources, too. So however they need to divide that state, that's going to have to be how it is if they want to survive. And Iran will be okay with that. And Israel needs to come to the plate with Iran and go, look, it's over with America. It's over. Forget it. Get rid of your Western alliance. You need to ally with the people that are in your sphere of influence. You need to start getting along with those Arabs. You don't have any other choice. So America needs to completely divest and break away. If that does not happen and the Israelis are not forced to come to terms with Islam in the Middle East and assume their part in that sphere, they're done. And that's all I have to say about that. That's my little tirade. But I think I'm correct. I really do. That's the honest-to-goodness truth of what needs to happen.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think people would be over the anti-Zionist thing, too. So the Jews wouldn't have any excuse to scream, they're always against us. They want to see the destruction of the state. No, we don't. We want you to be done with your insanity and your control of everybody to get hegemony in the Middle East, which you're not going to get.
Right.
You don't deserve it. You don't have the population and you don't have the credibility.
Right. Right. Of course, they do occupy. They are occupying the states that, you know, the countries that they have invaded. And,
sure.
And of course, we've helped them. Our military might has helped them. Why in heaven's name should America bleed in the Middle East?
They cannot do it without us. America has more power than Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Because they
right.
cannot do it without us. So we are the deciding factor. America, the responsibility is on your shoulders.
Right.
So.
All righty. We will be back in 3 minutes. So stay tuned after a word from our sponsors.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Sometimes you don't eat right and your body doesn't function correctly. On a day-to-day basis, your body needs a lot more than you think. But to do that, it's almost impossible. What can you do? Daniel chapter 1's First Kings formula. Tested, tried, and true. And an obvious favorite among the many Daniel chapter 1's customers. Why? Because First Kings has dozens of vitamins, nutrients, good carbs, protein, everything you need all in a delicious mix. It comes in two delicious flavors, chocolate or vanilla, and they're instantly bioavailable. That means that as soon as you drink it, within a few minutes, those nutrients are working. For lack of a better term, First Kings is pre-digested, so it's instant. Mix in water or juice, and your body is using it immediately. Get First Kings. Call 800-504-5511. That's 800-504-5511. Use promo code 100A for a discount. That's 100A.
Our guest today has been Veronica Clark, and her website is VeraIconaPublishers.org. It is linked on the radio schedule page, and we have about 4 minutes to make some concluding remarks. And I really appreciate your views on the Middle East, and I mean, it's so obvious.
Yeah, it's honest. I mean, that's what honestly needs to happen.
Right. And
so we're going to go ahead.
Without the backing of the United States, Israel would have to back down.
Right. And we're doing this stupid little game like, are we going to give the Palestinians a state? Are we not going to? I mean, what? Get over it. Yeah, you're going to give them a state unless you want absolute chaos. It's just stupid. Real quick, let me just touch on Gerald Horn. His book is Race War, White Supremacy and the Japanese Attack on the British Empire. 2 points. First of all, he says, this attitude greeted the Russian Revolution and the major powers stage almost race war to uphold tottering capitalism built on racial contempt. So his first conclusion is that capitalism is built upon racial contempt. And I'll hand that to him. I think it's true. It really was the white world building its capital and its empire on the backs of colored people. So there's a dichotomy there that whites upheld for a long time, and they're still kind of trying to uphold it without admitting it by bringing in non-white immigrants to do their kind of horrible, hideous jobs. And so that's a point of resentment that may come back with a vengeance. That's the first thing that I thought was insightful. But then he also says, the white man of the Western world, and he's quoting Mr. Embry, was being offered the last chance for equal status in world society. If the Western white man persists in trying to run the show in exploiting the whole earth, non-Western people may in surging rebellion smash him into non-entity. That right there was the most important quote in the entire book. Think about it. We need to think about that, though, because that may be our future. And we're only making it worse by bringing in all these immigrants and having them do the dirty work that we are unwilling as capitalists to have our own people do because we don't want to pay them. This can be eliminated very easily if we just eliminate capitalism, which is a Jewish enterprise.
It is. They created both communism and capitalism so that they could control labor and control credit and everything else.
And that's why I fear the backlash against like a socialist republic for America, like the socialist democracies or republics in Europe, which are doing actually very well, especially the Nordic ones, Germany, Norway, Sweden, all doing fantastic. They are social democracies. They are socialist. Okay.
Right.
In every sense of the word, they still have capitalism. They still have private enterprise, but they are socialist. That the backlash against that from the Tea Party and these other assorted peoples, that is Jewish led. They don't want a socialist republic here that's genuine. They want either a Bolshevik-style communist hellhole or capitalism.
Right.
To continue. The Jews do.
Yes. Very interesting. Well, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be back with you in about a month.
Sounds great.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, listeners. Talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend.